Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord our God has so much to say. He has so much to do. He loves us. And he is trying to redeem mankind. He has a plan in place to redeem the lost, to build up those that he has found, those that love him, those that were saved. He has a perfect plan in place. And the Lord loves us. He loves us indefinitely. He loves us forever. He loves us right now. And he's working hard to keep us in his kingdom so that we may live. The Lord is contending for your very soul. The things he's done for us, he's already laid the foundation. Jesus laid the foundation. He's noted as the chief cornerstone. When they get ready to build a building, they start with the cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone, the foundation, our foundation. The Lord has provided us the Word of God. Even before Jesus arrived as a baby, he was prophesied about. And they said how he would come. He would be born of a virgin in Isaiah. And the prophets didn't always know the fullness of what they prophesied. They just prophesied what God gave them. And they wrote it down. And they studied it. And they prayed for answers sometimes. One scripture said that they desired greatly to know these things. And they died in faith, knowing it was true, but they didn't have the fullness of it. Now we can read about what they did, the wonderful things that they did and how God blessed them. And then we can read about when Jesus came and he fit the description. He was born where the Bible said he would be born, in Bethlehem. They prophesied that he would go out of Egypt, and he came out. He went to Egypt, and he came out of Egypt to be taxed. Everything fit like a glove. Nothing was left out of order. Everything was fulfilled. He laid his life down and died for us. Now we're at the last part of his plan. He's going to save people now. It's time for him to come back. We're still talking about end times. That's the main theme of what we're talking about, end times, because we're living in the end times. And he's about to come back. He's going to return. He's not coming back as a baby. He's coming back to take the earth back. When our lease runs up, he's going to start a kingdom on this earth according to the prophecy of Daniel, when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Now, all these things are around the corner and about to happen. And the Lord wants us to understand him. And we need to go back and look at the history. I talk all the time about how I talk about the enemy in almost every broadcast, how he's trying to tear our lives down. Now, what the Lord instructed me to do today is to show you what I call the shell game. And I'm going to explain what that is. As you live and try to solve your problems, and you pray to the Lord and ask him to show you, if you get quiet before him, he's going to show you how to control the only thing you can control, and that's you. Remember, everything of God starts in seed form. Everything in God's kingdom starts in seed form. If you look at a mighty oak tree, it was once a small seed compared to the size of it. Every person you know, at conception, they were microscopic. You would not be able to see them with your naked eye. You would have to have a high-powered microscope. Everything in God's kingdom starts out microscopic. I mean, it starts out in seed form. Whatever size the seed is, that's how it starts in life. Even his plan. when he revealed it in the book of Zechariah, when he told Zerubbabel, don't despise small beginnings. Now, you want to solve problems in your life. Never deviate from the foundation of God's word. When you seek the Lord about how to deal with people, how to solve your problems, how to go forward, pay more attention to the instructions he gives you personally. Because as you correct those problems, your outer problems will be easily solved. And you got to receive wisdom and counsel. But you have to have a good attitude towards the Word of God. You have to meet it with faith. As you study His Word, you have to believe it and act on it by your faith. And that's the seed that's going to conquer your problem. Now, everything that Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, it deals with internal things. He gives us the beatitude, the way He shows us how to be. Now, that's a conquering way. Hear me good, because I'm on to something. It's a conquering way. It will solve problems that you may not be educated to solve. If you can live according to the Sermon on the Mount and any part of God's Word, I'm just using the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, as a starting point. That's something that we all can identify with. If you will govern your life by the things that Jesus taught when he was here, you will begin a process that the enemy cannot overcome. And if you're just learning about authority that the Lord provided for you through the name of Jesus, you're going to have to fight the enemy exactly like he did in Matthew chapter 4. When the enemy come to you with thoughts, you got to combat those thoughts with the scriptures. So that means you got to learn the scriptures. Don't feel outclassed and don't feel afraid. The Word of God will make the difference, and the Holy Spirit will help you understand it. So in your free time, and in your study time, study as many scriptures as you can. Don't worry about what you don't understand. The Holy Spirit is going to help you. He's your coach. He's your guide. Just mix faith with the Word of God, and you're giving the Holy Spirit something to help you with. He'll help you understand what you can do and what you should do. Now, he's going to work with you internally, because everything of God, even His wisdom, works in seed form. It comes in seed form. It's introduced in seed form. We study the word. We believe it. But when we act on it, you start a process that cannot be overcome. You will overcome the enemy, and he will not be able to overcome you, because you're trusting and standing on God's word by your faith. Now, the shell game. I'm going to show you something in the scriptures that the Lord just recently helped me to see. And this may take more than one broadcast. Now, remember, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. Don't forget it. Newlivingletters.com. And the broadcast is almost 30 minutes long on the website, but we use 15 minutes on the broadcast. And there's more of this broadcast on that website. And then the next broadcast is going to be different, but it's going to also be 30 minutes long, but the radio plays only the first 15 minutes. So newlivingletters.com, tell your family and friends, people you love, because the Lord is moving mightily by His Spirit. Now, you may know about the fall of man, how we got sin in the earth. You have to study chapter 3 in Genesis to understand how man got sin in the world. And you know that God gave man authority over the earth. So the enemy came to steal the earth from man and steal his authority. Now, if a man listened to Satan, then he became Satan's servant, so to speak. Well, Satan hijacked his authority. And this is how he did it, through the serpent. verse 1 of chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat? A little footnote. He didn't know he was naked because he was once clothed with the glory of God, and you couldn't see him for the light of God. He would have looked totally different clothed in the glory of God. But now the glory of God is gone because he acted on sin. He did a sin. All right, verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Now watch this, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception, and sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and all and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. To Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed be the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, in verse 15, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's talking to the serpent, between thy seed and her seed. Now, right here, he's talking to Satan. Now, from the time the Lord said this, said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Satan was looking for the seed of woman. And he didn't know who it was, and he was unsure. Now, seed is of the male, but he said the seed of woman. Satan was unclear of who God was talking about. So the first person he thought the seed was Abel. Because Abel gave God an offering that God respected more. So he had Cain to kill Abel. And time went on. He didn't know who the seed of woman was. He had angels to marry women to pollute the gene pool. He was trying to prevent the seed of woman. The flood happened. He still didn't know who the seed of woman was. Time went on. Then God found Abraham. And Abraham had trouble bearing children. But God told him that he would have a son through Sarah, his wife. Sarah, his wife. But But she didn't have a child till she was 90, and Abraham was about 100 years old. And they tried to help God out. Sarah had suggested that Abraham have a child by her handmaid, the Egyptian woman. And they had a child named Ishmael. And he became a mighty man. So the enemy still was uncertain who the seed of woman would be. And years later, Abraham had a son through Sarah in her old age. Sarah, his wife. Now, their son was named Isaac. And God made a covenant through Isaac. Abraham had to offer his only begotten son, and he kept a covenant, and God honored it. He was about to offer his son. He pulled back the knife to kill his son and offer him. Now let me say this: before he went to that mountain, Mount Moriah, he told his son, "The Lord will provide himself a lamb." And he spoke as if they would return. He may have expected God to raise him from the dead. But when he pulled back the knife to kill his son, before he finished the stroke, the angel spoke to him and told him not to kill the lad. Because what he had done, he finished a covenant. He offered his only begotten son. It took him all his life to that point to have this son. And he loved that son. And he laid down the life of his son. And when the angel stopped him, it was recognized that he did not hold his son back from the Lord. And then there was a ram in the bush, and they offered the lamb instead. The ram instead. But this is the covenant. Just like you didn't hold your son back from me, I won't hold my son back from you. And this is the seed of woman. But Satan didn't know who the seed of woman was. Now we know it's Jesus, because he was born of a virgin. He is the seed of woman, fathered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. See, they didn't even know her name or where she'd be from. But she was a descendant of King David, a man of faith. Zerubbabel was in her lineage. Now, Jesus is the seed of woman. Abraham offered his only begotten son. And Father God offered us his only begotten son, who laid his own life down, and he won the battle in Gethsemane, and he laid his life down. They crucified, they beat him. By his stripes we're healed. If you can believe that they beat him, you can believe you're healed. The word of God said he didn't even look like a man. And one day we'll cover the whole story of our salvation when Jesus died for us on the cross. And in many broadcasts we've talked about it. He's the seed of woman. But the enemy didn't know this. He didn't know who the seed of woman was. He was trying to figure it out. He was unclear. Now, what happened next was Ishmael had 12 sons. And you can read about it in Genesis chapter 25. Nebajoth, Kedar, Abiel, Adbil, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Mesa, Hadar, Tema, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedema. And I said one of them twice trying to pronounce it correct. But that's 12 sons that Ishmael had. Then time happened, and Isaac had twins. Now, this is really getting to be a big shell game. Who is the son, the seed of woman? Satan wants to know. Who do I kill? Who do I stop? How do I prevent this problem child from ruining my kingdom? So Esau, who was Edom, his name is also Edom. He had 6 sons: Eliphaz, Reuel, Jeush, Jalam, Korah, and Grands. Oh, he had 5 sons: Reuel, Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. And he had 12 grandsons. Eliphaz had Duke Teman, Duke Omar, Duke Zepho, Duke Kenaz, Duke Korah, Duke Gatham, and Duke Amalek. So Eliphaz had 7 sons. Now Eliphaz was Job's best friend. Reuel, Esau's second son, had Duke Nahath, Duke Zerah, Duke Shammach, and Duke Mizah. All right, then, now Esau had a brother named Jacob. And we all know the story how Jacob, Esau being the oldest, Jacob swindled his birthright. He made a bowl of soup when he was hungry, thought that he was going to die because he didn't have anything to eat. He was tired from hunting and hungry. And Jacob made a good old bowl of porridge. This really happened, folks. This is true. And he caught him at the right time. He said, "You can have a bowl of my soup. You can have all of it if you just give me your birthright." Now, the birthright was not something that you could tangibly hold in your hand. You couldn't see it. You couldn't feel it. It was just a birthright. And foolish Esau sold his birthright. You don't sell your birthright to nobody. He sold his right to be the oldest son to his brother for a bowl of soup. Now, I want to say something. This is a good place to pause. When God anoints a man for ministry, if you don't value the anointing he gives you, if you don't value your calling, what's the difference of what Esau did with his birthright? The calling of God is holy. Your anointing is holy. And if you treat it as nothing, God called Esau a perverse man because he sold his birthright. Now God had he told Rebecca that the younger would serve the older would serve the younger. The younger was Jacob and the older was Esau. So she helped Jacob deceive Isaac. Rebekah helped Jacob deceive his father Isaac to get the blessing. He already stole the birthright, or swindled him out of his birthright. But he used deception to get the blessing. Now this is a very mysterious shell game going. Satan's trying to figure out who the seed of woman is. Jacob greatly desired the birthright and the blessing, to the point, and Esau wanted the blessing. He foolishly sold his birthright. Rebekah was trying to help God out. If God told her that, she didn't have to use deception to get the job done. God would have intervened. All she had to do was believe his word. But they used deception to get the will of God done. So, as the story goes, when Jacob uses deception to get the blessing, a feud almost started. Esau was so mad he decided to kill his brother. So Rebekah told Jacob to move, to get out of town and go to her kin and find a wife. And that's exactly what he did. Eventually, Esau cooled off and he didn't fight his brother. So now in the land of Bethel, when he went to Rebekah's brother, Bethuel, he had 12 sons. And their name is Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, who happens to be Job's father, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. So now the shell game is getting out of hand. Who in the world is the seed of woman? And he's got to come out of the line of Abraham. So now we got three sets of 12, plus the five sons of Esau. Ishmael had 12 sons. Esau had five sons. And two of his sons had 12 grandchildren for him. And then Israel had 12 sons and one daughter. Who is this seed of woman? Jacob, who is Israel, also had a daughter named Dinah. And one of the men slept with her before they were married. And eventually her brothers killed him. Now, Satan didn't know who it was. So he was trying to find a way to mess things up. Now, we know that the lineage of Jesus came through Judah. And Judah had three sons. The first one, he didn't have children with his wife. And the Lord killed him. And so the second one married Tamar. And he wouldn't have children with her either. And the Lord killed him. And the youngest one was supposed to marry her when he got old enough, because she was much older than him. And Judah didn't keep covenant with her. And she played the harlot and tricked Judah. And Judah and his son's wife had a child, who is in the lineage of Jesus. Yes, she played the harlot. And until he paid her, she got his staff and some of his belongings. And when Judah found out she was pregnant, he was going to have her killed. And he said, the father of this child, these are the belongings to that man. And he saw his own belongings. And he said, then he told her, you're more honorable than me. Because he didn't keep his word. And she played the harlot and got pregnant by him. All of this happened. This is the biggest shell game in history. This is the one that's most important to Satan. He don't know who the seed of woman is. But he still didn't know. So eventually it was prophesied that Joseph would be a king over his brothers. And he tried to harass his life. Now, next broadcast, the Lord willing, we'll continue.